So just to recap, we're talking about spiritual EDD, which is actually a real condition. People have an emotional disorder. They're not able to react to things. So first of all, big deal. So what? So what if you're not reactionary? So what if you're not filled with emotion? So what if you're just functional? Right? Like the main thing about Yiddishkeit is to function. Hamaisa hua ikara, sages say, the main thing is the deed. Why are emotions so important? And Alter Rebbe, in explaining to us why this is an issue and why he has to deal with it, he says there are two major problems that a person will encounter as a result of this spiritual detachment disorder. Number one is that he will not be able to, so to speak, open his heart. He won't open his heart b'shum oifen, in any way. In other words, if it could be in some way, it wouldn't be so bad. But here, it's b'shum oifen. In any way, la'aveda shebalev zutfila, to the concept of prayer. So, on the pasuk, ule'avdei b'chol avavchem, you should serve him with all your heart, which is a verse in Deuteronomy. Our sages tell us, in Meseches Tainis, and this is also brought down in the Sefri, ezohi aveda shebalev, what is aveda? What is the service of the heart? Zoy tfila. This is the concept of davening. And the Rambam actually says that the concept of aveda shebalev, the idea of service of the heart, is something that we have to do on a daily basis. It's a biblical mitzvah. Now, the truth is that we understand that it's more than simply a question of davening with kavana, davening mindfully, rather than davening mindlessly. Because it's aveda shebalev, it's not aveda shebamoyach. It's a service of the heart, not the service of the mind. So it isn't just about having the intentions, it's not just having the awareness, it's not just having mindfulness, but rather the purpose of davening ultimately is to awaken the heart. As it says in the Sefer Hasidim, it says that Shoyrish HaTfila is Simchas HaLev BaKadosh Baruch Hu. The source of davening, the source of prayer, is to rejoice in God. In other words, that we should have a sense of joy about life, that we should be happy about the opportunities we have to serve Hashem, that we should be joyous about the opportunities that life affords us, on a spiritual level, that is. And the only way to get there is through the concept of davening. And as the Rebbe Rashab writes in Kuntus HaAveda, he says, Kol HaAveda V'hayegiyah Shalevdei Hashem B'tfila, all of the toil and the effort that are expended by people who serve Hashem with prayer is Lava Elamida Sahava, to come to what's called love for Hashem. So if Ahava, if love and attraction and engagement for Hashem, towards Hashem, is an important thing for us, then we have to deal with this EDD, because the EDD, the emotional detachment disorder, is not allowing us to be able to daven properly, which means that ultimately the emotional side of our connection to Hashem will be sorely lacking and deficient. In other words, Alter Rebbe explained earlier that the Shas HaKosher, that the appropriate time L'chol Adam, to awaken the sense of love, a fiery love for Hashem, is during davening. So if davening is not working, then life's not working. Davening is a very important part of life, as far as a Yid, as a Jew, who seeks to serve Hashem is concerned. So if you have what's called Timtum HaLev, if you have a sealed heart, the EDD, the heart doesn't react, you're doing all the things, going through the motions. You're doing the contemplation and the thinking, and then these things are supposed to awaken us. Like it says, a clear halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that before davening, we should spend time contemplating the greatness of God. If davening, if prayer was simply about asking for our needs, why do we have to spend time contemplating before davening? Just ask. So clearly, Aveda is, it's not just a question of bakashas tzrachov. It's not just about the prayer takes on the form of asking for our needs, but it is not simply asking for our needs. Because if it was simply asking for our needs, then many of the statements that are made in the writings of our sages about how we should prepare for and how we should daven would be totally superfluous. And here we have a person who goes through the motions. He's doing the contemplation, he's doing the meditation, he's thinking about the greatness of God, he's davening, he's trying to say all the words, like the Rebbe says, look inside the siddur, nothing doing. He's not moved in the least bit. So that's problem number one. So we got to deal with this EDD, because if we don't deal with EDD, we don't have davening. We don't have davening, we don't have love for Hashem. We don't have love for Hashem. There's a gaping hole in our avodat Hashem. It is not simply enough to go through our Yiddishkeit life by simply functioning. That's not good enough. That's number one. Number two, the Alter Rebbe says, v'gam l'pa'amim, The first time he said about davening, it's absolute. He says, b'shum eifin, you will never daven successfully. If you're battling EDD, you will never be able to daven. It will never work. And then he says, sometimes you won't be able to accomplish the mitzvah of l'kadesh atzmai b'mutar. So this is a biblical mitzvah according to Nachmanides, and that is that we should sanctify Hashem not only by doing that which the Shulchan Aruch tells us of the things we're supposed to avoid and the things we're supposed to engage in. So shouldn't eat non-kosher food, for example, and we should eat food which is kosher and healthy. Besides this, that a person has the sacred duty to sanctify life by avoiding things which are permissible but unnecessary. In other words, not to be a glutton. What's called in the language of our sages a novel. A degenerate, but a shus ha-teira. He behaves like a degenerate, but he does it with Torah's permission. He didn't violate any laws. So you can have a person who's actually a criminal mind, but he never violates the law. Why? He's the best accountants, and they figure out for him every single way. Think about this. Every way to be able to get around the system. He's corrupt to the core. A totally corrupt person. He has no interest in doing what's lawful or right. He just doesn't want to get caught. So you use the law to break the law. There are people like this. So this is possible even within the frame of Yiddishkeit, that somebody should technically follow the Torah, however, be breaking its spirit all the time. And therefore, the Torah says, not only are we supposed to follow the law, but the Kadosh Atzmei, we sanctify ourselves, b'mutaloch. Yes, I may eat that food, it's kosher, that doesn't mean I have to be a glutton. It doesn't mean I have to eat, stuff my face, and be totally immersed in sensual libido and self-gratification and having another moment of pleasure. That's not what life's about. Instead, life's about serving Hashem. Now, sometimes you will be able to overcome these challenges even if you're suffering with EDD, but Alter Rebbe says, l'pa'amim, there will be times and it will inhibit that battle. So therefore, we have two very good reasons why we need to solve EDD. We need to find out what went wrong and how we can fix this. Big problem. I'm not functioning. A normal human being can function, he thinks. A normal human being can feel. I'm not reacting. I have no emotions. What do I do with this? Now, of course, we're talking about spiritual EDD, and I'm not a psychologist, and there is a real condition called EDD, and I don't know how to solve EDD, or what psychology tells you. Maybe it's exactly what Alter Rebbe says here, maybe it's not, I don't know. But on a spiritual level, spiritual EDD is healed in the following fashion. I have, by the way, a sneaky suspicion there may be a corollary, and if there isn't, there should be, but I don't know. I'm not trying to invade the psychologist's territory. This then is the advice that's given for exactly this problem in the Holy Zohar. And I want to point out to you that even though the Alter Rebbe is going to be quoting a Zohar, he's going to be explaining a Zohar. And it seems to me that the way people may have learned this Zohar in the past is very different from the way the Alter Rebbe is explaining the Zohar as it's illuminated by the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, in other words, through Teirus HaChassidus. It's a different Zohar. It's a different teaching, and it seems to be saying something very different than what people assume it to be saying on the surface. As you'll see, you'll tell me what you think. So here's the quote from the Zohar. This is in Zohar Chelek Gimel, page 168, side A. It says the following. Much of the Zoharic teaching, incidentally, is like snippets of teaching not from Yeshiva Shomata, not from what's being studied or learned in this world, but rather from teachings that were being articulated and shared in the world to come. There's something called Yeshiva Shomaila. There's the Heavenly Academy. And in Yeshiva Shomaila, there's a Rosh Hashiva. There's a head of that academy. And he gives lectures and he teaches. So in Yeshiva Shomaila, there's an excerpt of a teaching on high. The Omar Rav Mesivta, that the head of the academy, it's Aramaic for like a Rosh Hashiva, Rav Mesivta Began Eden, the head of the academy in Gan Eden, he said, quote, oh, the Leisolog Beina Hayram, if you have a block of wood and the block of wood isn't catching fire. Now, most of us don't deal with this on a regular basis, so it's not such a good metaphor, unless you're right now involved in camping and you build campfires. You might want to understand this, right? But even when people didn't camp once upon a time, had to heat their homes with a fireplace. And they had to put wood in the fireplace. So once upon a time, this was as obvious as scrambled eggs and iPhones. This is part of everyday life. And the part of everyday life was, what do you do when you have this big log, you throw it in the fireplace, it's not going. Le'solog ben ha'ira, the fire isn't catching. You're making a funny face, but trust me, as a counselor in camp, we could never get that campfire going. I always wondered how these arsonists manage, like by accident, the whole forest get burned down. I can't get a stupid log on fire, right? It was always like, it's always how it was. It's like the log would never catch fire. What do you do? So what you do is, if the log won't catch fire, what you do is you chop it. You break it. It's too big. It's too dense. So because it's too big and too dense, it needs to be broken. And when it's broken, then it'll catch fire. And this is why once upon a time, even well-coiffed people knew how to handle an axe. You mean a wood chopper? It's like, you know how to handle a knife? You know how to cut your bread? You know how to cut a log? It was normal. Regular person, fireplace, issue. You had little tools, implements at the side. You split a log. And then you throw back in. And if you made it small enough, and if you splintered it, then it would catch fire. It's a given. Self-understood. So this is really interesting, because the Reish Mesifta in Gan Eden, who didn't have to deal with the physical body anymore, right there in heaven, he says, Gufa, he's talking about the body. He says, Gufa de Lisalik ben Ahira, a body that's not catching fire, so to speak, Nishmasa, Nahira de Nishmasa, the light, the fire of the Neshama, Mevachinle, the body has to be broken, Hulu. Now on the surface, this teaching sounds like everything the Baal Shem Tov rejected. Everything the Baal Shem Tov rejected. Because there was aesthetic practices that were common at the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Becoming the Chachamim. Serious Jews who believed that the only way that their light of their neshama would illuminate and resonate was if they broke their bodies. Many of these people would harm themselves. They would roll in the snow naked. They would have ants bite them. They would do things to harm themselves. They would literally torture and flagellate the body, starve themselves. And in doing so, they felt they would allow the neshama, they would set the neshama free. The Baal Shem Tov famously opposed this approach to Avedas Hashem with the greatest of vehemence. The story is told that the Baal Shem Tov once came to a famous parush, one of these people who had separated from ordinary life. He had nothing to do with regular Elmaza. He's a miserable person. He just sat and studied Torah all day, and his body was broken. His entire material life was destroyed. And this is the way he wanted it. And he thought this is the way his neshama will come forth. He wouldn't speak to anybody. And the Baal Shem Tov came over to him. He didn't look like a Baal Shem Tov. Didn't look like a Hasidic Rebbe. He wore like overalls, you know, the peasant clothes of the day. And the Baal Shem Tov said, "Hey, was machst du? How you doing?" So the guy didn't even look up. This country bumpkin idiot is disturbing him from Torah study. The Baal Shem Tov said again, "Was machst du? How are you?" The guy didn't answer. The Baal Shem Tov said, "Why are you taking away the Eibishter's parnasa?" The guy was incensed. Yeah, this farmer, country bumpkin comes in and tells him, he's taking away the Eibishter's parnasa. He is such a tzaddik. He's so holy. He's by far the holiest man in this village, maybe the holiest man in the province in his mind. And this urchin tells him he's taking away the Baal Shem Tov. He looked up at Baal Shem Tov with eyes blazing with fury. "How dare you say that?" The Baal Shem Tov said, it says, "Va'ata Kodesh, you God are holy, Yoishev, sits or rests, Tehillas Yisrael, on the praise of the Jewish people." Baal Shem Tov said, "Ask you how you're doing." The Baal Shem Tov said, "God rests, so to speak, on the Yid saying Baruch Hashem." Say Baruch Hashem. In other words, the interaction, ordinary people's interaction. Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing? And the answer, Baruch Hashem. That's an act of holiness. It's not an act of asceticism. I'm not disconnecting from others. I'm connecting. I'm engaging with others. But that's from the Teirus HaBaal Shem Tov. That actually is the way to make this world a holy place. And the Baal Shem Tov famously taught that if there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah in the Torah, about a donkey who is overweighted, is overloaded, and the donkey is faltering. So there's a mitzvah that says, Ozev Tazavima, you should surely assist the donkey in its load. Don't let the donkey falter, don't let him collapse, but rather, take off the load, repackage it, make it work. I don't want to get into the technical details of this mitzvah now, but the Baal Shem Tov explained this mitzvah in a proverbial way, in a metaphoric fashion. He said that the chamor, the donkey, can also be understood in the terms of chomer, of crass materialism, which is really the Maharal's approach. Maharal says it's many places. So the Maharal says that chomer and chamor is one and the same. So you have the chomer, you have the material reality, the body. It's faltering under its load. 613 mitzvahs. It's not simple. It's a lot of responsibility. So you might think, Ozev Taza, you might think, leave him behind, let him collapse. Who needs the body? The Torah comes along and says, wrong. Ozev Tame, Tazev Ime, help the body do this job. Of course the body is faltering. It needs your help. And here the Alter Rebbe is quoting a Zohar that says that if the body won't take the Ur, the light of the Neshama, what should you do? Shatter it, splinter it, smash it, break it. What? What does this mean? Incidentally, it's quite possible that many of the aesthetics in the time of the Baal Shem Tov learned the Zohar. They will learn it in Zohar and said, what do you mean? It says it right here. The log is not catching fire, smash it. Is it goof of the Lisalu ben Haira? A body is not filled with the light of the Neshama? Break it. Mevachin is a goof. So how do we understand this? The Alter Rebbe now explains. He says, Perush Nehira de Neshmasa. What does it mean, the light of the Neshama, the fire of the Neshama? Fires are destructive. What does it mean, a light? The Neshama destroys? The Neshama rips apart? What does it mean? You light something on fire, it's destroyed. It's not a good thing. The log may provide, when it burns, may provide heat, may provide light, but the log is gone. So the Alter Rebbe first has to set about explaining what does it mean, you're trying to light the body on fire, which sounds like you're trying to destroy the body. Forget about the shattering, the splintering. What does it mean to light the body on fire? Light him on fire is to destroy him. So the Alter Rebbe first explains, Pirush Nehira de Neshmasa, the meaning of the light of the Neshama is, Sha'oir HaNeshama VaHaseichel Enimer Kokach Limshol Al Chumri Yisra Beguf. That there is an energy, a light, a fire of the Neshama. But the fire of the Neshama, meaning the warmth and the light of the Neshama, is not affecting the body. It's not illuminating the body. The body is getting in the way. There's a darkness, a heaviness in the body, whether it's arrogance or slothfulness or demotivation, whatever it may be. There's a problem that the body is simply not responding. So here we have a situation with the Ohr HaNeshama and the Ohr HaSeichel, where consciousness, elevated consciousness, is not making a difference to the person. Meaning a person has a neshama. And because of the neshama, there's a certain surety about the presence of God, about the importance of your responsibility vis-a-vis God and the world around you and other people. You have it, clarity. You learned it in the books. It makes sense to you. You went to a class. It's all good. It's all logical. It doesn't make a difference. It's not engaging me. The body says, that's nice. Pass the ketchup. So what do you pass the ketchup? Did you hear what we just said? This is amazing. Yeah, whatever. It's not important to me. It doesn't make a difference to me. It doesn't excite me. So you have this clarity. You have this idea. You get this inspiration. It doesn't inspire you. I'm uninspired by inspiration. What happens then? They tell this silly joke that there was a preacher, used to be the itinerant preachers who couldn't make a living, or didn't get a position. So they would travel to little villages around the Carpathian Mountains, and they would, these remote villages, and they would give sermons, and they would take a fee for it. And these people never got to hear a sermon. They actually, can you imagine? People used to pay to hear a sermon once upon a time. So they would get a sermon and move on. And many of these preachers would give these vile sermons attacking the people and cursing them and telling them they were doing a terrible job as an old style of, you know, like a rebuke. So they tell the story of this preacher who shows up in this village and he is yelling at them. He says, members of this congregation. And he keeps saying members of the congregation and everybody's moved to tears and everybody's crying and one guy is sitting in the back and laughing the whole sermon. He walks over to him after, he says, who are you? What a chutzpah you have. When I open my mouth and speak my golden oratory, everybody weeps and cries. And here I was talking to you, and you're laughing in my face? He said, I'm not a member of this congregation. It's detached. He says, very nice. Read all these things. Yeah, that's fine. Well, but what about you? It doesn't affect me. It doesn't move me. It doesn't touch me. It's all superficial. It's all so-called mimeni vahola. It's outside of my orbit. It doesn't mean anything to me. What is this person? Is he not human? How could a human being not care about this? You know, you have these organizations that raise money for needy people. And they show you pictures that would make a stone melt. Show a picture of children naked, destitute, starving. How could your heart not be moved? How could this guy's impervious to it. So are you not human? Do you not have blood running through your veins? Do you not have a heart? How could you just move on? How could a normal human being not react to something like this? This is exactly the question. This is what spiritual EDD means. You're doing all the things, going through the motions, Torah motions. This is what Torah says is supposed to work. This is you have the owner's manual. So you're not troubleshooting, you know, making up your own methodology, seeing, let's try this, let's try that. No, you got the actual owner's manual. It says, here's the machine, here's how the machine works. And you're following all the instructions. And the machine's not working. The person's not reacting. It doesn't affect him. This is crazy. What's going on here? Why isn't it working? So the Oyer HaNeshama means the things that the Neshama knows. And the things the Neshama knows, the first entry point into our world is through consciousness. The person has the consciousness. So he has an understanding of it. This is not talking about the physical brain. The physical brain is a machine. It's a machine like the heart. Now it is true that they have not figured out how to create artificial intelligence that could replace somebody's brain. But they figured out how to make an artificial heart. After all, it's just a pump. They'll figure out how to make everything artificial eventually. Because all of the body's organs are just machines. They're just functional machines. Now, consciousness, that's another story. And because we don't really understand how the brain works and how it stores information and how it is able to intuit and think and be creative, it's going to be, for the foreseeable future certainly, impossible to create the concept of fuzzy logic. We can program a computer to do all the things you tell them to do, but to be able to deal with a new situation, we don't have that ability. That requires fuzzy logic, and computers don't have what they call the proverbial fuzzy logic. Here you have the person, you got consciousness. And the consciousness should necessarily affect him, but it's not. So what happened here? V'af shemevin, he understands. Yes, he learns this. Mizboinen, he's contemplating. V'sichle gdulas Hashem. Mikol makim, einei nitfes v'nidbek v'mechei. It's not working. Maybe he's working a little. Maybe he has clarity. Maybe he looks at things in an elevated way, but it doesn't enable him to change the fashion in which he leads his life. He's doing the same old things. Didn't change his behavior. You understand this? Yeah. Is it meaningful? I don't know. To change you? No. Do the same old thing. So here you have this block of wood that's not catching fire. You have this reality of a person is going through all the motions and it's not affecting him in any way, shape, or form. This is spiritual EDD. What do you do? So the Alter Rebbe says something very, very profound here in the next three words. He says, do you know why this is happening? This is happening machmis chumriyusan v'gasusan. It's because the material reality is very dense. Because it's so dense, it's not allowing anything through. It locks things out. Like we know when things are porous or dense. If it's porous, it allows things in. Here we have a person who is so dense, he's so crass, that none of the spirituality is filtering through to the inside. What are we speaking about here? We're speaking about a shell. We're speaking about something on the outside. Take note, my friends. Something on the outside. You see, usually when you have a machine that doesn't work, what would you do to make it work? Fix it. The simplest mechanism, the cup. What does a cup do? It contains liquid. If the cup is leaking liquid, meaning it's not able to serve its function, to the point that in the laws of Tumma Vatara and the laws of ritual impurity, in order for somebody to retain impurity, it actually has to be a vessel. So this is not a vessel anymore. It doesn't serve its function. It's a leaky cup. You want the cup to hold water? What should you do? Fix it. How do you fix it? Well, a cup's function is to hold, so fix it. You have a fan that doesn't work because the blades fell out. Put new propeller blades in. Like, fix it. Here, the Alter Rebbe says that it doesn't work, the fan, smash it. What does that mean? Who ever heard of such a thing? If a machine's not working, smash it. No, if a machine's not working, fix it. The body's a machine. The machine's not working. It's not reacting. Fix it. Clearly, this person is missing something basic inside his soul. Something's wrong. He's malfunctioning. If the soul's malfunctioning, fix the soul, for heaven's sake. And what does the Reish Masifta say from the Zohar? Smash it. Alter Rebbe says, the problem is not with the machine. The machine is in perfect working order. There is nothing wrong with your neshama, my friends. There's nothing wrong with your consciousness. What's wrong? What's wrong is there's a shell. There's an enamel on the outside that is disabling the light from getting through. So what you need to do is not fix the machine, because the machine is perfectly fine. What you need to do is get through to the machine. If you don't get through to it, it's not going to work. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, "V'asibah hi gasas haklipa." The density that is problematic here, that all comes from the klipa. What does klipa mean? On the most literal level, the word klipa, what does it mean? The shell. The peel. It's a peel. There's a dense peel. It's not working. So all you need to do is take it away. You see, this shell raises itself against the light of the godly soul. It conceals and it blocks its light. So here's where, and again, I'm a little bit out of my area or in water that's not familiar to me, but it seems to me that in addiction, they speak about in order to heal addiction, what do you need to do? You need to hit rock bottom. What does that mean? It means to break. When the person cracks or breaks, that's when they can start the healing. But the truth is, if somebody's broken, what's going to help you to break him more? A person's broken, Nebuchadnezzar, has an addiction. Oh, he's broken? Break him. That doesn't make any sense. But the answer is the person really isn't broken. But there's something disabling or the function of the person. There's something blocking the person from getting through to his or her inner core. In other words, and I don't know if psychology looks at it this way, but from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, everybody's neshama is magnificent. Everybody's neshama is beautiful. This is not negative. This is the most positive statement. The Alter Rebbe is perfectly confident. He has perfect faith that deep down, you are well. You are well. So why aren't you well? Not because you're broken. Because there's something around you. There's a shell that's not allowing the light through. Once we break the shell, once we get past the blockage, no issues. We simply need to get past the wall on the outside. This is the issue. You hear? It's not about fixing. The Alter Rebbe didn't believe the person was broken. He didn't believe the neshama was. A neshama can't be broken. Even your consciousness, your heart, your mayachal, it's not broken. It's like when Rabbi Lau was here a couple of months ago and he told this incredible story of how the boys cried on Friday. Remember on Friday night he told that story? And these were children who went through the Holocaust, went through the camps, lost the whole family. They hadn't cried in years. Children who didn't cry. It's a crazy thing. It's a phenomenon we can't understand. They simply shut the key off. They turned off. But they were normal. They were children inside. But the child inside them wasn't dead. The child inside them was locked up. And then on that afternoon when one boy cried, when he got up and he made his little speech and he cried, what did it do? It broke the shell of indifference that they had built. This is a survival mechanism. The way they survived was by creating this wall around them. And then they forgot how to open the key. They don't know how to open the door. They built this wall but forgot how to take it down. And circumstances were such that it was a crack. And once there was a crack in the wall came crashing down. And when the wall came crashing down, the catharsis began. Not because the wall, healing doesn't come from breaking. Healing doesn't come from illness. But in here, we're to understand that deep down everything is right. What's preventing that which is inside from expressing itself is something that it's inhibiting it. The inhibitor has to be removed. That's the meaning of breaking. We're not breaking the body here. And maybe people thought this is talking about the body. But the way Chassidus explains this, Zohar, it's not about breaking anything other than the klipa, the disabler, the blockage. And therefore, because we have this klipa, this gasus, this density that raises itself against kedusha, tzarech levatcho lahashpila ad la'ofar. You have to lower it. You have to smash it down to the ground, so to speak. And when you smash it down to the ground, and what does this mean? The Hainu says the Alter Rebbe, giving you strategy now. What does it mean to raise the hatchet? What does it mean to get rid of the superficial reality that's disabling me from functioning? That a person has a false sense of arrogance, self-importance, and that becomes a klipa. As the famous expression goes, many people are their own worst enemy. You're making all the problems yourself. You really are a good person. Deep down, you're fine. What's the problem? You have a skewed image of yourself. You imagine yourself to be Lawrence of Arabia. You think you're riding on a high camel. And you're not able to realize that you're making a big mistake. You're hurting yourself. You have a beautiful neshama. Let the neshama get free. And that's what has to be a shvira. The shvira is not to break the person. The shvira is to break the klipa around the person. And when a person does this, when he has that liyes nivze be'ein of nimas kakosov, when a person is disgusted with himself, looks at himself, what do I do with myself? Look at my life that's filled with such stupidity and such ugliness, such filth. Lev nishbar, ruach nishbara, lev nishbar, a broken heart, doesn't mean you should have a broken heart. Who gets helped when your heart is broken? No, it means, says the Alter Rebbe, ruach lev nishbar, ruach nishbara means, what is the ruach, which spirit is this? Hi hasitra achra, this is the spirit of darkness. That has to be broken. That the false ideas, the false self-aggrandizement that's stopping you from recognizing your potential, that's what has to be broken. Now, sometimes it looks very similar to the person breaking themselves. Sometimes it's almost impossible to distinguish between the shell and the nut. And that's because shehihi ha'adam asa beinini. Oftentimes, as a beinini, we identify with our own klipa even more we identify with our neshama. But it doesn't mean that's really who we are. So there was a legendary headmaster of the Lubavitch schools in London. He's still alive. He should live and be well. Lives in Crown Heights today. Moved to be with his children. And he tells a story that there was a young man from the Anan Chabad circle who wanted to go into education. And he happened to be in New York, and he asked Rabbi Cousins if he would take him to the Rebbe. He wanted to get a bracha. I don't remember which Hasidic group he was from. So Rabbi Cousins brought him to Kais Shel Bracha after the Yom Tov. The Rebbe would lead the benching over a glass of wine, and then he would stand on his feet and greet each person and give him a little bit of wine. He said, L'chaim v'l'bracha. So the person goes by, the shul was full and there was thousands of Hasidim and everybody would sing, and it wasn't a quiet kind of event. And my cousin comes by and he said in a very loud voice, Evila reingehen in chinuch. He wants to go into education. So the Rebbe, over the noise and the din, he said three words. Build self-esteem. Build self-esteem. Because the thought, once upon a time, was the stick, the strap, and the birch. The thought was you have to break, you have to smash the kid. And when you smash him, then you'll turn him into a mensch. My father told me that I wasn't I was a troublemaker. I wasn't a good student as a little kid. And my Zayda, it was old Russian ways. He said to my father, he used to say that in the times of the Tsar, that the Cossacks would have to choose a horse. All the wild horses would go, and running onto into the brook, and the Cossacks would see the wildest horse, and they would grab this horse, and they would ride the bronco, they'd break till they broke the horse. And then when they broke the horse identified with his master, he knew who was boss, and that was what he rode into battle with, the wildest horse. And he said to my father, "You have to break him." You have to break him. So lucky for me that my father came from a different reality. And he said to my grandfather, who had best of intentions, "My zun is nish kinferd. My son is not a horse." He said, "You don't have to break a child. You have to harness, channel a child. You don't break a child, right?" But people didn't understand. People once couldn't make a difference between the child and between the wild energy or the issues that got in the way of the child. So you broke the child. And by the way, let's not pat ourselves on the back and think that in the United States and Canada, everything is so fine and peachy. Because today, what do they do with wild children? They drug them. They drug them up. Mm-hmm. And basically, they deaden the wild energy, but they also deaden the creative energy. Right? So you fill them up with drugs. The kid's like a zombie. And his whole life goes out the window. Why? Because instead of dealing with the real issue, instead of having a real educator who knows how to engage and harness and channel the child, so you can't deal with it, drug him up. Which maybe is even worse than breaking the child. And this is what Talta Rebbe is talking about, I think. This is really so enlightening. This is written almost three centuries ago. This is Talta Rebbe is talking about the idea of every single human being is good, he believes. Everybody has a beautiful neshama. So why isn't it functioning? Machine's not broken. It's just the surface. If you break away the shell, then what will happen is the goodness will begin to flow. To be continued.
Thank you. Thank you.